It's time for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Governor Walker are asking to borrow $200 million this year to pay for road projects. Some Republican lawmakers are pushing back on the request. Also this week, both houses of the state legislature passed bills changing the state's John Doe law. A government accountability board and campaign finance policies are still out there. Joining us now is Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob.
Well, a lot, as I said, in the state legislature this week. First up, Governor Walker has signed a bill that will change those John Doe investigations. So what exactly changes here? What's going to be different?
So John Doe investigations can no longer, by law in Wisconsin, as of Walker's signing, be used for political corruption investigations. They can be used for sort of major felonies for murders, but no more investigating politicians under these John Doe probes.
And both sides felt strongly about this one. Supporters said, hey, the way John Doe's have been done, they're secretive, tyrannical, harsh police tactics. Opponents say, hey, this is a special privilege for politicians, exempting them from this. Was this pretty heated argument over the course of this week?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, as you might imagine. So Walker himself was the subject of two such probes in his relating to his campaigns for governor. And so you might say, and some people have said, that there's a sort of a whiff of sour grapes in this in the whole affair. The Republicans point to, as you say, the secretive nature of these John Doe investigations, and this is something that everyone can relate to too. There is something unsettling about the ability of judges to issue gag orders to people who are being investigated. So there's, you know, so your house is raided, but you're not allowed to say anything about what happened. And some of the secretiveness of it did rub some people the wrong way. Even, you know, there's a political motive, but there is something at least unusual about that.
So the John Doe thing, the change, is passed and signed. Now, the Government Accountability Board, and this is a related story, the Assembly passed a bill that would overhaul that, end it, in effect, split it into two different boards. Passed the Assembly. What happens next there?
Yeah, so it passed the Assembly. This has been a subject of a lot of discussion, and critics say it's going to weaken the state's ability to investigate political corruption or election misdeeds. This bill now goes to the Senate. I did notice it is sort of interesting. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald this week was quoted saying that he saw it as not a slam dunk in the Senate. So who knows? I'm not sure. Sure. It feels to me like something that has a lot of Republican support. Governor Walker is a strong supporter of this proposal. So, but it sounded like there might be some changes made in the Senate. I would it will be interesting to see. I would be surprised if some form of this bill does not ultimately become law.
Yeah, given a Republican majority there, that would changes or opposition would have to come from at least a few Republicans
pretty
for
much.
It not to pass.
Yeah, and I haven't heard of a lot of that, but maybe there's stuff going on behind closed doors.
And then the third part of this big change in our election and ethics laws, campaign finance laws, doubling, I think, the limit for individual donations, changing campaign coordination laws. This also has passed the Assembly. This vote went a little differently than usual. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there were some theatrics on this one. The Democrats, one by one, when it came time to vote, stood up and recused themselves from the vote, saying that they could not ethically vote on it because they had a personal financial stake in the law. That was, you know, I mean, the outcome was the same. The bill was going to pass unanimously. It passed unanimously because the Democrats did not vote. It was going to pass on party lines one way or the other, but that was a way of dramatizing the strong feelings and the principles that Democrats say are at stake.
And over-dramatizing, according to
sure.
The leader of the Republicans in the Assembly, Robin Voss.
Sure, yeah. He said he had never been more disappointed in the minority party than he was at this stunt. The bill itself, the campaign finance limits, I mean, it is worth saying individual contribution limits in Wisconsin are actually fairly low, $1,000 for state Senate candidates and $500 for assembly candidates. So so doubling those. Now, governor has more. It's $10,000 for a governor and other sort of state-level offices. But that is, you know, for what it's worth, it's not that, that doubling that brings it so out of sync with other places. Arguably, the bigger deal in the law is explicitly permitting coordination from outside issue groups, these issue advocacy groups, which raise unlimited money and they're not required to disclose their donors. And so, we've seen in Wisconsin elections a lot of spending by national conservative groups, Americans for Prosperity, or whatever, even on the level of local races, like we saw it in county board seats up in the Northwoods. And so the idea is that this bill would give more clout to that kind of spending, and that is, I mean, that feels dramatic.
Talking to Rob Metzer from the Wausau Daily Herald in our weekly roundup of Wisconsin political news. Let's hit the road now, Rob. The State Department of Transportation, Governor Walker, wants state lawmakers to approve $200 million in borrowing, for starters, this year, to get some road projects back on track. So what's the argument for this borrowing request?
Yeah, so here we are again. This is the same issue that was that became a flashpoint in the budget process, and they're still working on it. The idea is that we have from the Department of Transportation the list of projects that will be delayed under current funding. The argument for doing the borrowing is that rates are pretty low right now, and that going forward with the projects saves the state money in the long run from it, that there's just going to be more deterioration. So the argument goes if they don't proceed, and also that having good infrastructure helps the state's economy overall.
In the category of things that aren't a slam dunk for Republican lawmakers, this one has been at the top of that list. Why are we seeing a pushback from some Republicans?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it's borrowing. It's taking on more state debt. And so that's, you know, Senator Alberta Darling and some others, conservative Senate, don't, you know, that is not a priority for them, or it is a priority to prevent that for them. So an interesting thing may be at play. This is a possible case where minority Democrats and the minority party may actually have some influence, because if this or some version of this plan is going to go forward, they may need some Democratic votes.
And finally, Paul Ryan, Wisconsin congressman, has announced that he will run for Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, getting thumbs up from key players in the Republican caucus there. What got him there this week from last week? Extreme reluctance, I think, would be a fair way to put it.
Sure. Well, you know, it's been interesting to watch this play out. So he had a list of requirements and sort of a way of expressing what he would and would not do in the speakership. And you know, there are some technical procedural things, some stuff to do with, you know, wanting time with his family, not wanting to travel around to fundraisers all the time. But also mainly seeing it as important to have a unified Republican Party. And he didn't get the formal endorsement of the sort of hardline Freedom Caucus, but he got enough a supermajority of support that it sounds like it's going to happen.
Is there a timeline on when this vote would happen and he would become the speaker?
Yeah, you know, he just announced, I don't know it. I'm sure that they wanted to, I don't know that. I really don't know the answer. He just announced that he formally announced his candidacy for speaker today.
And looking ahead, assuming he does get it, he would, as I understand, be the highest ranking Wisconsinite ever in U.S. government. Does this would this have an effect, do you think, on how he represents his own district?
Yeah,
he's
got
this leadership spot.
The highest ranking Wisconsinite with kind of the worst job in government, right?
Right.
The you know, it's not like it used to be, right? There aren't earmarks and arm twisting and the ability to bring home a bunch of bacon for your home district. So I think it's an open question. I mean, Eric Cantor was a member of House leadership who was voted out in a just last year. year or whenever that was. And it was precisely for the reason that his constituents thought he was, that they didn't see a benefit to him being in the leadership. So it's, you know, it's, I think that people like having somebody who's high profile, and there's certainly a lot of goodwill for Paul Ryan throughout the Republican Party. But does it help his district? That's a bit of a, I don't know that it necessarily does.
What does it mean for Wisconsin that we keep having these high-profile national things? Governor Walker running for president, Paul Ryan for vice president, now speaker. All eyes are on our Senate race for control of the Senate next year. Does it feel a little different reporting in a state that's the center of all attention?
Sure, it feels like we're the center of attention, as we should be, right? This is where we have interesting people. There's interesting things happening.
Rob, thanks as always.
Hey, thank you very much.
That's Robert Mentzer with the Wausau Daily Herald, helping us recap the biggest stories around the state for our Wisconsin News Roundup.